So I'm here with Geraldine Wade from the ClearType Advanced Reading Technologies team, and you're here to show us a font that you've been working on for a long time. what is this font?
Yeah, this font is called Gabriola, and we made it for Win 7 and Office 14. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to give a little bit of the background of the font, kind of why we made it and what the influence was and how we went about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so... For Vista, we made six Latin fonts and a Japanese font.
Yeah.
And these fonts are used in the OS for Vista today. And they were focused on being body fonts, text reading fonts. Mm-hmm. And that means that they would be used probably between 9-point and 14-point for reading. We covered a big ground with that, and we did a lot of open type features within those fonts, but we thought that we could explore making a richer open type feature font for the future, and maybe a display font, something that we hadn't really made before.
Mm-hmm.
And in coming up with the ideas of display font, we're just knocking about the ideas and pushing the technology. I would say we our team is interested in developing new technologies and introducing new technologies within the font industry. And so with this font, I was talking to John Hudson of Tyro Typeworks, who's the designer of Gabriola, the font for Win 7 and mm-hmm. Office. And we were looking at different influences of calligraphy. And we came across Jan van der Velde. He's a Flemish master calligrapher in about the 17th century. And we looked at this and thought, gosh, this is so texturally rich. This is so amazing. I wonder if we could do anything like this. And it certainly would be a development challenge to be able to make something even approximating this.
It's not exactly what you would expect to get out of your desktop publishing
software. No, it isn't. And it's certainly not something that you'd expect Microsoft necessarily to be interested in doing, because it's such a florid, you know, fancy kind of influence, inspiration.
And there's probably, when you ink something by hand, there's probably a lot of things that you take into consideration, like, you know, this line doesn't go through words and obstruct things.
Yes, it's certainly a well-thought-out document, and we were interested in the textural richness of these documents and the interleaving of these beautiful swirly characters, if you like. So that was the inspiration. And then this is one of the earlier tests. We decided early on that, we had a little bit of a discussion about it. I would call it a hybrid display font.
Mm-hmm.
I think John would have probably preferred it just to be display font. But we wanted to make a kind of fancy font, but that had a greater range of uses.
Yeah.
And so here, we did some experiments from plain to fancy, if you like,
mm-hmm.
And experimented with the ascenders, the different forms. We decided that these would be ideal for contextual alternates and substitutions and specifically stylistic sets with an open type. And this, even though we had like a calligraphic influence from that original Jan van der Velde calligraphy, we thought, no, this is going to be very typographic, and it's going to be based more on kind of a split nib rather than a broad nib.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this kind of feeling within the plain face itself, and then we decided not only we would have modulations along a range for the individual characters, but we'd actually have clip-on ornaments that would add some expression.
Yeah, so that line back there isn't actually coming off of any particular
letter.
No,
it's not. No, it's actually clipped on and activated by one of the letters.
Very cool.
Within the word. And, of course, the problem when you're looking, and this was the difficult, this is a difficult dev problem. It's still a difficult dev problem.
Yeah.
It's not something that we've solved like overnight, but it's something that we're exploring with this font. And when you get ornamentation like this, how do you stop clashing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're developing a font like this, you can't stop people from using it whichever way they want,
yeah.
And that's fine. But we tried to, within our the tables within the font, within the OpenType tables within the font, do some clever modifications where we tried to avoid the worst case.
Yeah. So in this problem, how much of this is it a problem for the developers in the Windows group as opposed to the font designer?
Yeah.
It's a split problem.
Well, it is a split problem. But I think it's a very difficult technical challenge for the developer, yeah. And I would say that the reason we did this isn't only because we're wanting to make a pretty font that has this kind of wonderful transition between plain and fancy. We're actually thinking longer term. How do you actually work a paragraph, look at a paragraph, and actually make it work well in both the X direction, the horizontal direction, and the Y direction? Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of work in the X direction with optimal paragraph layout, but in the Y direction, we really haven't thought about it too much or dealt with it too much. And this leads to those kind of non-Latin scripts like Arabic, any flowing typographic form that you want to actually make an expressive document or dialogue box or
I wouldn't expect your application.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect this to be used as a UI, but you never know.
We'll see. The wedding invitation maker.
You know, see that's when you say wedding invitation, yes, there is an aspect of that to it, but and that's on the fancy end. But this font isn't like a typical copperplate font, you know, Palace Script and Zafino, Beacon Pro, any of those. They concentrate on one particular style.
Mm-hmm.
This has multiple styles within one font.
Yeah.
And the plainest style actually is very legible down to let's say 14 point. You could even go to 12, but it's quite fine.
Yeah.
14 point is actually quite beautiful, and it gives an even texture on the screen and on the display and in print.
Yeah.
And you can use it. It's got a wider range of use. You could use it for email, web.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, you know, a little soft and,
but
at the same time, it's
There's times for that, though.
It's very usable. It's actually a very friendly font. This Greek, I just wanted to point out this Greek. It's one of my favorite aspects of the font. I love the Greek. I think the Greek is absolutely superb. It's got elements of the Roman. It forms well. It harmonizes well with the Roman.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got its own character. It's got a very kind of, I believe, Greek kind of nature, where it's got all this beautiful movement in it, and it's got all of these ligated elements within the font itself, within the polytonic Greek. And the OpenType feature set that we have for this font, we have about 20 OpenType features within this font. These are the ones in red. The rest in black are the other OpenType features that are currently being supported by WPF, Windows Presentation Foundation. And these here are more related to East Asian fonts.
Yeah, and are these things that a designer can go through and change the settings by hand?
That would be an ideal scenario, yes. Mm-hmm. And you can certainly do that with certain professional desktop publishing applications. Another thing about WPF is the fact that they've now got Y direction anti-aliasing, which really benefits a font like this.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, before we had clear type, but we've got jaggies in the Y direction, and now we have a beautiful smooth transition. And here is kind of an interesting visual where it's just trying to showcase, we've got different styles of progression in this font, in the stylistic sets. We have spectacle G's moving to single story G's, taller ascenders, and then moving into kind of a chancery hand, and then kind of a rondo, this beautiful round forms, and then more cursive.
And ideally, the designer could select, you know, the first and last letter and give it this style, but if they decide they really like the internal letters there, they could choose those?
Well, it's probably better to stick style to style to style.
Keep the style across the word.
Yeah, that
don't go usually changing styles in the middle of the word.
Usually helps. Okay, so I wanted to just show you an example of VTT. This is a visual TrueType tool that we use for hinting or instructing code that makes the pixels work well on screen. This is the outline of the A, and if I move along, I want to get to a Q. Let's see.
And can you see the different styles within this?
I'm going to show you that in a second. Okay, so here we have an outline of this lovely Q, and if I put grid fit on and then fill it in with pixels, clear type pixels. I don't know if the camera can see this, but the way this font was hinted, it's actually got a massive character set. It's got like over 4,500 characters in this character set. But it's been hinted in a very light way, our most modern way, if you like.
And for someone who doesn't know, what is hinting?
Hinting is code instructions where you're actually modifying the outline, sometimes modifying the outline, but you're actually shifting pixels onto either a high contrast boundary or onto a pixel grid. Mm-hmm. And here, I don't know if you can see it, it actually snaps to the grid in the Y direction here, and yet the X direction is floating. Mm-hmm. It's wherever the outline falls. That's where the actual rendering will happen.
And this is because letters are going to be, you know, next to each other, and you have to have space between the letters.
Well, the space between the letters actually is derived from the left and right side bearing. That's actually your spacing.
Okay.
And the character sits within that. So, yeah, this font had our most modern hinting techniques put into it. And here, I just want to like quickly see if I can... here we can see the amount of characters that we've got, all these different ligatures, accented characters. The accented characters are usually composites, so there's about 40% composite characters within this font. Mm-hmm. We've got two small caps, and we have some of these stylistic alternates within the font itself, quite a few. And then this is the polytonic Greek. Here's the ligature characters. And we have Cyrillic. We cover Cyrillic as well within this font. And the Cyrillic was actually a more difficult task to make than the Greek in a way, because Cyrillic itself is quite, it's a different style. And it's more static. This was based off of the Roman much more closely than the Greek. But we work closely with Cyrillic expert Maxim Zhukov and Greek expert Cherry Leonidas to actually get our Greek and Cyrillic forms as best as we can. Sometimes they agree with what we do and sometimes they don't. Now, we were talking about the connecting forms. And give you an example. That's an end form, but something like this. See, there's a cutout here, and it's on a nil unit. It has 0 unit. So this is how you actually write. You write your letters, and it's attached to a specific letter. So we have a whole set of these.
So that's something new.
It is something new.
I've never attached anything to a letter before.
No, we haven't. Not in our fonts. And also, way down here. We thought, well, okay, so since we've got all of the attachment, we'll do a little set of full widths that can be used as fancy borders or ornamentation in some way.
Yeah.
And since Gabriola is in Win 7, and you can get it on Word and any application that's using Win 7, you can actually use the font with these right now.
Really?
Yeah. And at a later date, when we talk about with Jeff about the new publisher and actually new office, you will be able to access some of the other stylistic sets with the ornamentation.
Cool. So.
Okay. All right. That's it for that. And next, I want to go to. This is a development tool, and I will just see now. Here we go. Ooh. Let's just say that. Okay, so. Let's try, it's a test, so let's try, here's our small caps, and if I, go back here, and go down to stylistic set, here is where I could show you, let's take that off, this is stylistic set 7. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. And there's the default.
So it's a lot of options for a designer.
Lot of options. Here you've got Gabriola in Expression Blend.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually write typography stylistic sets in here. And let's just change it. So let's change it to 2. Yeah? So if I change, then let's go, 5. Let's go 7. 6. So this gives designers an ability to use Gabriola, mm-hmm. in a way, and then they could pick that up and they could take it, and you know, these wonderful designers can do whatever they like,
yeah.
with this. Really, they can color it, you know, twist it round, move it. Mm-hmm. They can do whatever they like with it, and it's very rich.
So right now, what's the best application to use to be able to play around with all these different styles?
Well, yes, I would say that this is the time to introduce Jeff Bell and Publisher, the new publisher that's going to come out.
So this is the Publisher Tech Preview. So this is Publisher 2010 Tech Preview. It's out there for a number of people, and it's been talked about. So it's not super secret, but it's also not in a lot of people's hands right now. So it's certainly not hard at a glance to see that it's the new publisher. The old Publisher 2007 was. Mm-hmm. Was a classic ribbon application, or a classic menus and command bars application.
Yeah.
So this is a big refresh for us, getting the ribbon.
It's got a much more robust ribbon than other applications I've seen.
So the ribbon is just such a natural for Pub.
Yeah, it is.
And that was a discussion we had many times last version.
But
we're really excited that this time we're able to bring that. Bring that to users and we'll see things like the text chunk on the ribbon, the contextual text chunk that allows us to bring to light all sorts of text and typography features that are, so if you sort of look at big strides in Pub this version, the whole workspace, the ribbon, and text and pictures and printing, and suddenly that looks like the whole app is sort of taken big strides forward. So we'll focus on typography and the Gabriola stuff here.
So these are all the different styles of Gabriola.
So what you're seeing here are the different stylistic sets within Gabriola. We can play with what happens as I go in and work with it, but in the publisher context, I'm seeing here the text box tools, the ability. So this is the contextual tab I was mentioning. So some of these things are things you would have seen in the past, mm-hmm. with that are collected together around the context in the spirit of the way the ribbon is designed, spirit of gathering together commands for that context, and then this typography chunk, which varies in what gets exposed based on the font that I've got. For example, I'm seeing stylistic sets exposed here. This is just one of these.
So it gives you a good
features.
Preview of
so
what you're going to get.
And in fact, I've got two previews going here, because really, I've got this is a gallery.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing in big the different effects rather than simply a list of which stylistic set do you want, which would have been the old office way of doing things. But I'm also seeing live preview in my document. So my selection, I'm seeing just as you'd expect for other galleries in Office. But this is, so it's
and
not...
And the set drop-down here, this is showing you what you had highlighted.
This
too.
Is showing
it's
what I had highlighted. This is not sample.
Yeah. Lorem Ipsum.
Right, right. So that's... and then Geraldine didn't show some of the other magic of Gabriel that as I type, because it's a contextual font mm-hmm. at its core, as I type, I will see different things because the context keeps changing.
Yeah.
As I type more letters, this is something that does particularly well on video and poorly on screenshots, but the magic of how the font. So there you're seeing an ornament on the O that makes sense when there's nothing next to it.
Yeah.
But that will go away.
So it changes very differently as you start adding letters.
And publisher has no knowledge of what should go next. That comes from the font. There's the font is a fairly sophisticated piece of code itself that says what should I do in this context, and we go through shaping engines that mm-hmm. that communicate with the font that bring that to light.
It seems very intelligent about how it makes decisions, and it seems like there's probably a lot of code behind that.
So there's code at a bunch of levels, right?
Yeah.
There's obviously the font itself is a bunch of code that's the decisions about what letter should go next. You want that in the hands of the font designer.
Yeah.
What's appropriate for Gabriola is probably not what's appropriate for Calibri,
mm-hmm.
Which is much less contextual. Although we can see that this is more than just a Gabriola feature in Publisher. It's for a broader set of fonts. You'll see ligatures and other features that are contextual in the way they're shaped, but
yeah.
Just to a different extent. So there's certainly code at the font level. There's code at the shaping engine level, which is shared between it actually inherits a whole lot from what we've long done to shape Arabic or Thai or various other fonts that are complex in their shaping requirements, just to do that language in a reasonable way. This runs through, this basically takes English or Latin text and runs it through the same sorts of shaping engines and says, okay, well, we've got this power in our fonts and now we can expose that to users. You were, I think, talking with Geraldine about what this would look like in another application. And in Office 2007, on Windows 7, where I have this font, I can type Gabriola. I can find it in the drop-down. I can type Gabriola, and I'll get really this sort of default stylistic set. It's only with Office 2010 and with Publisher and also with Word to a different extent that I get the ability to say, no, apply this other formatting to it. And we just love stylistic sets. There are a whole bunch of new typography features that we're exposing in Publisher 2010, like ligatures, like the ability that you were talking about with Geraldine to mark individual characters and choose an alternate shape for that character, or but those are tweaky, I'm a graphic designer yeah. sorts of features to a large extent, whereas stylistic sets are really just a very accessible way for the everyday, I am doing marketing materials, which is sort of the bread and butter of publisher, user to go and say, no, make this a little more interesting, exciting, yeah. a little more flourish to this
Something
piece.
Visually appealing, but I don't have to really work at it.
And it's also a natural step that I can say, I can use one of the simpler forms of Gabriola as my body font and go and switch and in a place where I want to punch up the flourish a bit, I can step up to a different stylistic set. So mm-hmm. that's sort of a natural progression that's not, oh wait, I used Calibri here, what might be a good font to use? And, you know, we don't... It's not necessarily easy to say, yeah, oh, yeah. let me go find the font that will go well with Calibri. We do font schemes across Office that address that some, but this gives you another level of control, another level of sort of natural, yeah, I can just go more mm-hmm. there.
So how will people get Publisher? Can people, if they want to try it now, is there a...
So we're not in, we're in beta now, we're in technical preview now. Mm-hmm. So it's not available for download broadly. As of our beta 2, it will be. So I don't think we've announced dates for that yet.
Yeah.
Keep watching, and as of our next beta, we expect that it will
and
be.
And where should people go to find out more and to keep an eye on Publisher?
So basically, sites like Office 2010, the movie, mm-hmm. And sort of a number of there's an Office 2010 blog and a Publisher team blog that I assume you can post links to.
We will. We'll do that.
And that's where we're talking about what's new in Office 2010 and in Publisher 2010 at this
Great.
Point. But, you know, even if my needs are for fonts other than Gabriola, so for example, Calibri supports things like... small capitals, alternate numeral forms, and ligatures, all of which Publisher is supporting. So mm-hmm. So it's you'll certainly see different typographic features exposed depending on what font you've got available to you. But for a growing set of fonts, including the new fonts that were introduced in Vista and Office 2007, the Calibri, Cambria, Kendara set of fonts. You are getting access to different sets of these features, and ultimately, it's up to the font designers to say these are the things I want to expose in my font. This is what's important to the purpose of this font, and I think this will open the door for a whole lot of new font innovation that I've been able to do, put these things in fonts for 10 years, but I haven't had it exposed broadly for users to actually use them in Office, in the desktop tools people use.
You know, font designers, they don't get a lot of new tools every time, you know, an OS comes out, so it seems like it's a great new path for them to have some expression in how their typography looks.
It certainly opens up a whole lot of opportunities to do richer things with fonts, and we've seen some cool demos and prototypes of new fonts in the font pipeline in the industry as a whole that we can unlock by having Office applications make it easy to get to these features.
Well, thanks for showing this to us.
Great. Thank you.